And I ain't hit no drop in a minute. No, I'm about my business.
Rappers Got Podcast, episode 52. This is your host, Iggy Metro.
Bales Pagliacci.
And today we wanted to talk about capitalizing on your moment. So you want to get into the game. You finally get your shot. What do you do at that point? What would you do?
What I do?
Yeah.
Call Ghostbusters. Nah, what I would do is... I mean, first thing in my mind comes like building a team, but capitalize on that moment or right then and there. Content, 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 content. Throw fucking content out the woozah and just content. Literally, that's how I would capitalize on my moment.
How do you build a solid base in order to make sure that your career is not a shortened one?
I think the same thing would still apply.
You think just building content?
Building content, but also within building content, also, you know, improving yourself as you go along.
See, I think I'm talking about more structurally, like in the business sense, how do you build your business to make sure that you're not one of those one-hit wonders? What would you do as a musician? If you're talking to me, if my craft is music, if I sign a label deal, because that's a lot of people's starting point of when they became successful.
Mm-hmm.
If you sign that label deal, my goal would be make sure my label gets me in contact with all the biggest producers. That would be my first step. I want to be in the room with every big producer. I don't care if we work on a song or we just have a conversation. I want to be in the room with all the biggest producers. Producers drive the music.
Yeah, it does catapult you into a different,
you know what I mean?
Situation and a different vibe when you start working with those producers.
And when you see those albums where it's like, damn, he has a beat by him and him and him. Those are the biggest albums. You know what I mean? So my first step as an artist who just got success would be linking up with all the biggest producers. That creates your network. That actually builds your, like, if you become friendly with all these big name producers who have been in the game for a minute now, then you're building your network. They might hear some shit where they go, yeah, I know the artist that you need to work with. And they might link you with a different artist. You know what I mean? So if I'm trying to build sustained success, I'm going to link with all the biggest artists or biggest producers rather. And that would be my step one. I'd want my label to put me in contact with all the big producers.
That is actually a fire step because then once again, within being able to be in with those producers, that's why my mind usually goes to content. Because once again, you know, working with those producers, you can be able to build a lot of content off of that. And that's one of those things that, you know, I believe that Z would talked about when he was on episodes, like we're in this era of music streaming. But when you think about it like this, right? When you think of like a music platform like Spotify, so you're probably like paying like $10 a month. But then you think of something like Netflix, you probably, or Hulu, you're probably still around the same price, but it's like a little, it's valued a little bit differently where video is just kind of like the thing that we just kind of naturally drawn to because it's like it's things that's moving. And with the music being like a passive listening, turning it that thing into active, that's kind of where that whole content idea comes from. Like you're capitalizing on that moment. But being able to push that shit out constantly and also being able to keep it quality at the same time, which is kind of difficult, but it needs to be done.
Yeah. I think that in your terms, building content, I don't think that could solely be music-based.
Yeah,
I think that the artists that do those vlogs and the artists that have podcasts, and it's funny, you're seeing every rapper start a podcast. You're seeing all these different people have a bunch of content, and I'm sure that that's coming from their management. Listen, man, people want to see you. People need to know what you're doing. So we got to start shooting videos. We got to, like, I think that this generation of people isn't as interested in the acting, which would be like music videos, right? Like you're putting on an act, you're performing your song and there's all this theatric shit going on, but they're more interested in hearing you speak. You know, if someone said, ASAP Rocky just dropped a new video, you know that he makes dope videos, you might run to it. But if someone said, oh, did you hear that ASAP Rocky interview? You know that you're gaining more from that interview than you gain from watching his video for 2 minutes. You know what I mean? People are interested in hearing people speak. So I think that as an artist, especially ones that are listening, if you're only working on music, then you might want to start a podcast with your friend where you just talk about different things. You might, it just brings the listener in a little bit different than it would if you were just solely working on music. And I understand the mystique factor that artists want to have. And yeah, I don't want people to know my business. That's mm-hmm. fine. I get it. But like, again, we're in a different world.
Yeah, because that's the same thing. I seen a video on Instagram somewhere where Dr. Dre was saying like, he didn't know if he would be able to flourish and be who he was if back then social media was there, because there was a certain mystique that he liked about it. He don't want everybody knowing where he's at and what he's doing, and who knows what the other album is till this day. So I guess that kind of like plays along with it a little bit, but we're not in that era anymore. We're right. in like 24/7, right in your face.
That's the main point that you brought up. You said Dr. Dre said he doesn't know if he would be able to flourish in this time.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So he's acknowledging that in this time, things are completely different.
Completely different.
You know what I mean? And again, I think that artists constantly see like a J. Cole or they see like a Kendrick and they go, nah, I'm just doing what they're doing. They're different. They're on a different level than you.
Different
you
era.
You can't, but fuck the era. They're huge successes. You can't compare yourself to a huge success. They can go away. They can afford to go away for 3 years.
And even shit, that's why Cole said, that's why he started doing all these features and shit, because he was like, yo, like.
Well, he basically, he had to pop impression. Out.
Yeah, exactly.
He had to pop out.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I can't just like stay hidden this entire time. I got to really do some shit.
You got to pop out. And for Cole, he has the luxury of him popping out is just doing features with everyone. Mm-hmm. For an artist sitting at home that goes, how do I pop out like that? One, you can get on everyone's tracks.
Just facts.
That's a big way to do it. Like, I'll tell you from my own experience, when I come across dope artists, I'm doing tracks with them.
Mm-hmm.
I want to lay a verse on one of your songs. I want you to lay a verse on one of my songs. Let's show expanded. Our audiences each other, right? But beyond that, I used to interview different artists and I would do a whole bunch of shit just so that there's a whole bunch of audiences being meshed. But our version of popping out is also in the physical sense.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, what's the show that you just...
Smoking Word.
Okay, so in Jersey City, there's a show called Smoking Word,
mm-hmm.
right? And Smoking Word is like a 420 friendly, like poetry slash hip hop,
everything.
And there's vendors there and everything, mm-hmm. right? So for an artist sitting at home that goes, well, how do I pop out an event like that? Even if you're not performing, just go.
Go pop out.
Just go. There's events all the time. I'm sure if you know people who know artists from other towns or whatever, I'm sure that they have a show coming up or something. Just go and get involved. Because you getting involved, that's important to your own artistry. You being around that energy like we talked about in the last episode is mm-hmm. important to building your own artistry. So that's how you pop out. You pop out in the physical sense. You pop out by doing tracks with everyone. And that's how you capitalize on what you're doing currently. You know, like everyone's moment is completely different. And like, yo, I've had moments in my own career, small scale, but like I've had moments where I felt like everyone locally is starting to catch on.
Mm-hmm.
And in those moments, that's when you have to be on every single song. That's when you have to drop as much as possible. That's when you drop an album back in the day. Now, it's just singles, you know? But like, that's when you have to be on top of your shit. Once they start hearing you, that's not when you kind of like fall back and be like, oh, you know, now they're seeing it. So they'll listen to my album for the next 6 months. No, they won't.
Yeah, because like one of the biggest things that we were talking about beforehand was like, you know, as far as like what happened within COVID and, you know,
I don't think we brought it up.
Yeah, well, no, we brought it up in past episodes.
No, I'm talking about right now.
No. Yeah.
So like open that up.
You know, like it's safe to say that, you know, within COVID, 2020 was the craziest year for streaming. Like the numbers was astronomical. That's the word I'm going to use, astronomical, right? And at that point, everybody had their attention on being, you know, in the home. So at that point, you got to listen to music, all these things that could keep us preoccupied because we're sitting in one place and we weren't working, we weren't moving too much. Now the world is getting back to normal in a sense where, you know, we're back to working, we're back to community, doing all these things. And not saying that the streaming numbers are going to go down, but within being an artist right at that specific point, it's like kind of like being like the NBA in the bubble. Like you had a specific time to like do what you needed to do. And, you know, this is a crazy ass parallel, but some people say like, the reason that maybe the Lakers may have won the championship is just based because they were playing in the bubble and they capitalized on that moment where you see them like now and they're like the trash of shit.
I think that there's definitely something to people capitalizing on the pandemic. You know, like if you know the people and a lot of smart people out there did, you know, they knew people are going to be at home.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was not at their job. They were sitting at home and getting paid to be at home. So they're going to be more drawn to their phone. You know what I mean? You sit at home. I mean, you get out of work and you go home and you're drawn to your phone.
On the phone.
It just is what it is. But like, before the pandemic, there were specific times, and there's schedules online. If you guys don't know this, you go and you could actually like search best times to post on Instagram, mm-hmm. best times. And there's schedules that tell you when the most, engagement is would be online, time. Right? So like during the pandemic, that was completely thrown away because
24/7, I'm on my phone.
So if you were marketing during the pandemic, you could have marketed at any time, any place, and people would be on their phones. Now it's kind of back to the way it was. Now, if you got into the game during the pandemic, your vision's going to be skewed of how it all works.
Mm-hmm.
For people that have been doing it before the pandemic, you kind of get it because you've done it before.
Because there's a comparison that I want to make, right? So like when, you know, I dabble in stocks here and there, right? Mm-hmm. So I got into stocks literally like right when the pandemic started. So it was like, in my mind, what I was afforded to see and how like the money was moving so quickly and rapidly, in my perception, this is what the stock market is.
Oh, no.
Now, as time went on and the stock market started to stabilize and things started to go back to what it really was, I was like, oh, shit. I don't know what the fuck is really going on. And the same thing kind of happens within, you know, the artistry within, you know, making music or putting music out during the pandemic. It was like, at that time, I just kind of figured out what marketing was. So a lot of attention was there and a lot of things were being like, basically a lot of eyes were on me.
Mm-hmm.
But as time goes on and things kind of like simmer down, you're like, oh shit, I got to find a different way to approach this just because not everybody's at home anymore. Now I got to fight for that attention again and find attention with other artists, other sports, entertainment, whatever the case may be. So it's just crazy how sometimes it could be at a specific moment that you got to really be able to capitalize on right then and there, because 6 months later, 7 months later, 8 months later, a year later, you don't know if it's going to be the same process. You don't know if it's going to be the same thing. And it's a hard pill to swallow once you start seeing it.
I can set a perfect example. At my career, they have projections, right? Of what we, or they're based on like past money making, but like now we're projecting that we're going to do this and that mm-hmm. in this month, right? So during the pandemic, everyone was getting extra funds. They were getting that $600 extra from the government, right? So what are they doing? They're going to a store and they're spending the money.
Run it up.
Right? Money that they wouldn't normally have.
Mm-hmm.
So now our projections come out this year and they're high. And every day is under. We're going under. We're under. We're under. And the reason is the projections were off. They were skewed.
Yeah, they, it was inflated,
they weren't
basically.
Based on reality. They were based on a pandemic world where everyone was getting an extra $600.
Mm-hmm.
If you get an extra $600, you can afford to go out and get the music equipment that you always wanted to buy. But with your normal salary, you might not be able to afford it. So if you were basing your entire vision musically on the pandemic numbers, then you were off. And realistically, you should have been basing it on how things worked before, because it would have just set a more realistic tone to what this is.
Like, I even literally seen the same thing as far as like posting on TikTok. Like, I didn't realize what I was doing at the time, but I was posting on TikTok during the pandemic. You know, everybody was bored. Everybody's on TikTok. And even then, like, my music was getting more likes. It was getting more views. But at the time, I didn't understand what TikTok was or know what it was. So I didn't pay any mind to it. But then when it comes to me, you know, post pandemic, and I'm like, you know, trying to put certain shit out, I was like, oh shit, my views are way lower. And until I took the time to actually scroll back to see when I was posting during the pandemic, I would have never even made the comparison. Like, oh shit, it's a complete difference. Now I have to really get back in there and try a different way, because the attention is not, and things are not coming so easily as it was before.
Right. Like, it's just strategy. Music is always, music mm-hmm. business is based on strategy. It's all business is based on strategy, but music business in particular is based on a lot of strategy. And it's like, that's why posting for the best engagement times and shit like that was important. During the pandemic, it became less important, but now it's back to important. So if you are trying to start marketing your music, if you're trying to start working this out and becoming a small business, now you have to go back to actual strategy and how do I get viewers? What am I looking for? When Corey was on, they talked about scrubbing through people's followers, mm-hmm. seeing what kind of accounts they follow, whatever, and basing their marketing strategy on people's actual following. Now, something like that. I know not everyone has the time to sit there and scrub through followers and this and that, but something like that is important when it comes to marketing your music. And that's why you do pay a firm, because they exactly. actually have They'll the time to go and do that. That's right. Like, normal human being doesn't have the time to go and do it. But like, these are all things that when it comes to marketing music, like, that shit is important to actually sit there and know who your actual audience is. Spotify demographics can only do so much. What I will say, though, is that Spotify is good at telling you what age group listens to your music.
And that's fucking super important.
Men versus women listening to your music.
Super important.
You know, and knowing these things, then you're going to know what merch to put out. If you have 15% female listening base, why are you making female clothing?
Yeah, you can't be making dresses and tutus and skirts and shit.
You feel me? Like, your merch should be based toward males. What do men like?
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you have 15% woman following, you don't have to make all the love songs in the world. You should probably be making shit that men are probably going to bump more
gravitate
often.
Towards, yep.
Now, maybe men do bump R&B more. Mm-hmm. You know, who knows? But like, you need to be very particular on the shit that you're actually marketing out there, or the demographics that you're pushing toward. I personally know that my demographics when I make music is between 23 and 34.
Literally my same thing.
Okay, so the music that we're making has to be something that that age group is actually going to connect with.
And everything else around it has to resonate with it as well.
And that's why I don't make all the drug rap and shit like that, because in my eyes, the people that I'm pushing my music toward, they're not on that type
of
time.
Hard drugs.
They just got out of school and they're now they're working their first career. What would they listen to? What are they kind of like interested in?
And then even deep in that, you know, within knowing, you know, like having that age range between like 18 and 24, 25, like, yo, that's everybody that's in college. Let me reach out to one of these local colleges that I'm around. See if I can, you know, see if I can perform somewhere. If I can just come on as a, I don't, y'all haven't got to pay me. I'll just come do this.
That's if your base is in college. If your demographic is in college. If your demographic is from 23, I'd hope that most people aren't 23 in college. Usually you graduate by that time.
Yeah, around that time, yeah.
But if your demographic is a college demographic, then the college circuit makes total sense. If you are graduates and people with careers, then you wouldn't want to do a college show because they probably won't even resonate with your music.
No, and then on top of that, you'll probably even get, I'm not saying, but you probably get a little bit more money if you did like shows or whatever, or merch for people that are 25 and 34, because at that point, you probably are establishing a career. You probably are making some money and, you know, you're probably able to figure out your finances and shit. So it owes levels to that shit.
Yeah. And you're more likely to sell merch if your demographic is between 23 and 34.
Yeah. Because at that point, you got to ask your fucking parents, like, hey, can I get $30 to buy this shirt for this random guy? You don't know.
And if you're a big name artist, an 18-year-old is going to figure out how to buy your merch.
Somehow.
For most local acts or people who are kind of on the rise, an 18-year-old is not going to be buying your shirt, you know? I was 18 when I was doing merch, and it was hard to sell fucking 10 shirts. You know what I mean? So, like, I completely understand that whole life.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing your demographic is important on capitalizing on your moment, you know? And that's going to be, even at the point of maximum success, you're going to have to know what your demographic is and who you have to actually make music for. This is the easiest part about this. Your music is usually going to speak to the people like you.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really have to craft it toward them. What we're saying more or less is don't craft it for the ones who aren't listening to it.
Exactly.
We're not telling you to craft it for your demographic. We're saying, do not craft it for your non-demographic. And that, I think that's very important to note. Like, there's a lot of people who see that 85-15 split and they go, oh shit, I got to make more songs for the ladies.
Leave them alone.
Well, it's just not how it works. You know, like, the ladies aren't interested. If they were interested, they would have been listening. You know what I mean? But like, because there are artists who have that woman audience, even if, like, Lil Durk, he has
I'm pretty sure he has a high. He's a male audience, but I'm pretty sure his female audience is probably up there. I'll have to take a look, actually.
I'm sure he has a female audience. And, like, you know, I don't think that they're going to him for love songs. No. I don't think he has to change anything. Some artists do have that. For some reason, they have that thing that women enjoy their music as well.
Mm-hmm.
if you're a boom bap rapper and you're making like underground hip hop, chances are you're not going to have a large woman audience.
Woman fan base is flocking at you unless they know you got some money.
But even then, bro, like they have to be super attracted to you. Otherwise, they're not out here looking for your music if you're like an underground rapper. It's just not how, that's not the audience for underground rap. Mm-hmm. But like every music has its own audience. There's going to be a couple women at those shows, but for the most part, that's not what they're going toward.
And another thing, you know, within a capitalizing moment that I just thought about, you know, like even when, you know, it may feel like you're doing a lot as an artist, you also have to also be able to realize that, you know, a lot of people are doing the same things as you, or like probably like a little bit better, or they probably a little bit under you. But at the end of the day, you're trying to find a way to not like inflate your ego a little bit too much just based on the things that you are doing. And I want to just like, once again, stay in that kind of humble area where it's just like, all right, I could be doing all these things and I could be captivating or on my time at this point. But understand there's other people that's doing it as well, and just being able to fit inside that whole range of other people that's doing it, you know, and not feeling like I got to be better than this person, I got to do more than this person. Like, you know, just understand that everybody's here for a reason, and everybody's going to have their moment, everybody's going to have their spot, everybody's going to have their time. But are you going to be the one to capitalize on your time the most? Because you hear it so many times, like so many rappers that usually say that in their songs, like, yo, you had like a whole year, you had 3 months, you had 6 months when I was going down this time the third. What were you doing in that time? And I think that really does come from a specific place.
Well, I think that everyone's story is different. And I don't think that everyone needs to necessarily set up their career to be a musician for the rest of their lives. We've talked about it in the past where people get into the game as a musician and wind up being like a video director or mm-hmm. wind up being whatever. I think that it's all about what you want to do with your career and making sure that you have a career, right? So, if you think about, say, like sports, right? There's a bunch of people who made money as a running back playing in the NFL, mm-hmm. right? Some of those dudes went and they bought franchises and they opened car dealerships and all these different things, right? So that when they left the game, they still had success. Other people banked on being a football player for their whole life.
And you cannot do that.
And so what we're saying is, when you gain success in the music industry, you have to also figure out other forms of revenue, other mm-hmm. streams of income. And when you're doing that, it might not necessarily have to do with music. You know what I mean? You can open a studio that is musical, but that's not the same as you actually making the music. You can open a studio and you could have engineers there working and you could be making money from that. But these are all things that you have to think about to sustain success.
Use your leverage in any way that you can possibly use it. Use that your time and with any way possible that you can use it. Because that is when you're going to maximize the profits on what you're trying to do. And also just get your name out there.
I would even say using your name at that point is actually really important because, you know, there's more companies giving people brand deals and making people brand ambassadors and shit like that than ever, right? Mm-hmm. Like with Instagram and all these new companies popping up, all these clothing brands, like to get a little partnership with a brand is easier than it ever was. A lot of kids are coming out with like super creative clothing brands and shit like that. So if you can do a partnership or you can get different sponsorships and shit like that, that's important. And if you have a name, they'd be more than likely they're going to want to work with you because that gets their brand out there too. So how do you become successful in that sense, you know?
And when I think about that, like one of the main things that I would normally do is like I started hashtagging my name specifically. And also when it comes to the podcast as well, just hashtagging a name. Because within that, you know, if somebody just goes to search you one day, like right now, somebody goes on TikTok right now and searches up Bales Pagliacci. It's like 37,000 views under it, but it's just because it seems like it's a large number, but it's because it's accumulated over a large time. If you hashtag the rapper's guy, it's probably like, I think it was like anywhere between like 100,000 or 200,000 at this point. It's because it's starting to build up a whole profile behind, you know, if somebody was to search the hashtag or search the name, it's like, oh shit, there's been this many eyes on it. Branding. Right. Here's some money.
It's all about branding. You being an artist is you being a brand. Figuring out how to sustain that brand and to turn it into more than just music. That's a big thing for a lot of artists. And gaining that understanding as a business mind is important to being successful for not just the couple years that you're going to be a famous artist, but beyond that. Every artist has their moment when they're like highly sought after, and then shit kind of falls
and either flatlines or plateaus a little bit, or you just creep up a little bit more.
You could be that guy who everyone knows about and respects in the game, but like isn't necessarily the hottest topic all the time. There's nothing wrong with that. But even that is a difficult thing to sustain. Like people look at a Currency. Currency is not the biggest artist in the game, but like his name is strong.
Longevity.
His brand is strong. You know, he's still pushing out music. You don't go running for it, but like, you know, he still exists. He's well respected in the industry. And all of that adds up. And that actually does show that he has a valuable brand.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he's been in the game for as long as he has and he still remains successful. How does he do that? You know, that means that his brand is strong. That means that he actually focuses on that. That's not something that's just given. And I think artists mistake that for being a given. Once you get famous in the game, you know, that shit's just going to last forever. No, it doesn't. No, it
does not happen like that.
You know, it actually lasts a very short time where you have that opportunity to capitalize. And after that, it's just figuring it out from there. You see so many artists trying to rebrand and come out with new songs with new people and shit. Like, because you have to rebrand at some point.
Because it's the same thing if you're an independent artist or if you're a signed artist. You got to make sure you capitalize on that moment because it comes and it goes. And sometimes it comes and goes multiple times. But are you prepared? Or do you have a plan in place when your time is there? Or when and once again, we kind of talked about it in the beginning of the episode. You know, one of the things that you would do is go to producers. One of the things my mind would go is like, I got to create more content and just put my name out there. So, you know, we got to really think about those things whenever it comes to how can we better ourselves and how can we put ourselves in position even though the position isn't fully there yet? Right. How do you become a CEO even though you're not a CEO yet?
Yeah. Anything else?
That's pretty much all I can think about.
Okay. Rappers Got Podcast. We're signing out. This is Diggy Metro.
Bales Pagliacci.
Peace out, guys.